love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. The Treasury Department has announced that the U.S. will reach its debt limit by mid-October. Republicans said that Democrats must agree to spending cuts in exchange for their support to raise the debt limit. The White House, meanwhile, says it won't indulge Republicans this time around.
We will not negotiate with Republicans in Congress over Congress's responsibility to pay the bills that Congress has racked up. Period.
Spokesman Jay Carney says that blame would lie squarely with the GOP if the country somehow defaults on its debt obligations. The interesting thing here is that technically the U.S. hit its debt ceiling months ago.
For 100 days since May 17th, the official national debt has been stuck at exactly $16,699,396,000,000.
Former GOP Congressman Ernest Istook, now with the Heritage Foundation, says Treasury has been breaking the law for months by borrowing money from federal retirement funds. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
Good evening, everybody. This is Barbara. Brenda, unfortunately, has gotten the bug of some sort, so I'm solo for the moment, and later on in the show, we will have Alicia Todd, who is a North Carolinian, and she is a politichick. She had written an article, and she did a little undercover work, and I kind of see her work as a solution for us to work at. So I'm excited to have her on. When she comes on, we'll get into more of her article. So I'm excited about that. And this week in news, boy, are we having fun yet. I'm telling you, it has been like the longest week, and it's only Tuesday. You know, Martin Luther King, his 50th anniversary, God rest his soul, because I tell you, he's rolling in his grave, knowing exactly what these race baiters are doing. Jesse Jackson, I believe, Jesse Jackson and Reverend Sharpton are nothing but race baiters, and they are taking the floor and are doing everything they can to put these people back to where they were. They're making slaves out of them, and it really irks the daylights out of me, as it does others, because we're all American citizens, you know, and if you keep putting color in it or on it, it just divides, and that's what they're doing, and it's working, and it's really sad, because you have all these white people, the past 3 days, you had the 88-year-old man out in Seattle who was murdered by two black kids. It's just sickening. It's heart-wrenching. Just people randomly, they're just killing off people, and they're not even, they're making excuses for these kids. Oh, they have bad lives, but, you know, they don't have a father in the house. But on the other hand, it's okay to have two gay parents. My head is spinning. It's just getting so ridiculous. My head is spinning. I'm getting tired. And I know, I'm sure a lot of others are getting tired, too. We've got this working on. I hope everybody called that number to defund Obamacare. Because, you know, it's a nightmare in the working. And, of course, we have Syria. You know, there's just so much that goes on in my head in a day's time. They're talking about it's the rebels that are doing it. It was the rebels that did it last time, not the government. And our government saying it's their government and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I just don't think we need to be there. I think all the Syrian people that are there now, they need to just get out. You know, the people that don't want anything to do with it. I mean, if it was me in Syria, I'd be getting out of Dodge. You know, I've come too far to die, but yes, I would fight. I don't know. I think I'm just, there's just so much going on. Blog Talk was giving me a really hard time today, so I am not a happy camper to begin with. And I also had a long day at work. So we've got, I've got a show going on. So I've got to do that. And now I got to kind of I have to focus on what I'm doing. Anyway, with this mess in Syria, it's serious. You know, when I was listening to Jay Carney this afternoon, and boy, does that guy say a lot of nothing. He just dodges. He won't say anything. Meanwhile, you know, the news has it on that the U.S., oh, here we go. This is 59 minutes ago from NBC News. You know, the news is just coming in. Military strike on Syria as early as Thursday, U.S. officials say. Now, they do legally have to go through Congress. Now, I also heard today that John Bonehead said that they would need consent, not approval, because approval would need a vote. And they weren't going to do that because that would be calling Congress back from their recess. So one never knows what's going to happen. And people were crying and complaining about Bush. Well, Bush did it. Bush had the consent. And he had the permission. So everybody was okay with it at that point in time. Nobody wants to go to war. And I don't know why we have to put our nose in everybody else's business. But I actually have a feeling I know why, but if it's proven, I don't know if it can be proven. But we do know that the CIA, something was going on with guns in Benghazi. Something to do with it. So I don't know exactly. You know, nobody knows the whole story, and I don't know that we ever will know the whole story. And that's really sad. It's just really sad. Anyway, we have some exciting things going on this summer. in the summer for of 2000, well, the summer's over. Oh my goodness. The summer of 2013 has come and gone. So it's a good time to make some changes here at conservativenationmedia.com. Starting this Labor Day, our weekday lineup moves from, it goes to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Some great shows, great people, but and now we're all on the air at the same time each weekday evening. And stay tuned for some new great voices on conservativenationmedia.com, too. It's pretty easy to remember. Just make sure you join us every weekday evening, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. And we also, for those who've known us, we've been Conservative Nation Radio for a long time. And now we are changing. With all the changes comes Conservative Nation Media. So we have some exciting things that are going on around the station here. I just wish Blog Talk would go ahead and cooperate. They have a tendency to just do whatever it wants to do. Anyway, we, like I mentioned earlier, we're going to have Politichicks on the one of the Politichicks with us, Alicia. So we've got that exciting thing going on. Like I said, also, Brenda is under the weather today, so you're stuck with me. And I wish I had more, so I'm kind of going through the news as I'm doing it. You know, there's a lot of people that post some really good stories and information. I'm sorry, I haven't gotten them all up yet. Let me just go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and take a break and try to get a little more organized. We'll be right back.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
My dad came to live with us last month, and, you know, it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving, a public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Okay, and I'm back. I don't know how organized I got, but I think I'm a little more organized. I really want to get into this as we're waiting for Alicia to call in. I want to go ahead and read what she had done, her article, because it's really awesome. And Alicia's, like I said, she's a North Carolina political chick, and she was on a mission to convert liberals to the truth of conservatism. But I don't exactly know what had happened while she was there, but she'll go into it, which North Carolina has this blueprint for the Dems, and they're trying what they've done since Governor McCrory's been here is they've been fighting him on everything, tooth and nail. Now, I don't know if everybody knows this, but I'm sure a lot of you do. North Carolina passed the voter ID law. So Kay Hagan's a little miffed, and she went ahead and she wrote a letter to the DOJ. I don't understand people where they think it's racist. It's just, and this is what Alicia's article gets into. They remain very focused, and it doesn't matter what is said. What she had done was she went undercover to try to tell the truth of conservatism, and she went there, and her true goal was of the organization were revealed by a leaked memo, and it says lays out the plan to evacuate the state Republican to do everything they can to our state Republican leaders at every level and through any means necessary available. And one of the many groups that the blueprint would like to be recognized for good work that they do is Democracy North Carolina. The group has recently started a community action organization in my area, which has gone to great lengths to look homegrown and promote a very general and positive agenda. It's all about their agenda. The group literally sprung up overnight in an attractive website, snazzy logo, and a very positive generic reason for being. Okay. The publicity claimed to hold they publicly claim to hold no particular political leaning and welcome folks from both sides of the political spectrum. They go by the very innocent sounding name that portends no obvious political leanings or baggage. Their website lists no founding members and provides no history. That should be a red flag right there. Anyway, it took this poor girl several days reading their online postings to figure out exactly where they were at. And she says they gave themselves away using the word progressive, love but true conservative, rightly steer clear of democracy. We know to progressive democracy is thought of as a utopia in which everyone has a voice and the very real negatives of human reality no longer exist because conservatives know history. and understand human nature. They recognize democracy for what it truly is. Mob rule and ultimate anarchy. Founding Father John Adams said, democracy, while it lasts, is more bloody than either aristocracy or monarchy. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders. For some reason, however, this is not one of the many quotes on democracy this group chose to use. Let's see, they went ahead and their local progressive group, they hold meetings quite frequently and invite the general public to attend. And this is where Alicia went undercover. She was very welcomed, and I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit, because when she comes on, she'll go ahead and give us more of the information. The facilitator was very welcoming, directed to information center, where they had lots of handouts of brochures, newspapers, and they were all set out at tables, I'm assuming. And they had a New York Times editorial blasting our state Republican legislator for destroying our state by slashing funding for unemployment, education, health care. But North Carolina really didn't do that. They just didn't add to it. The education, anyway. The unemployment, as you, a lot of people know, in other states, that came out too last week, that people are getting $27 an hour to sit home, so why would they go out and get a job? So North Carolina cut that amount of money, and they cut the amount of weeks, because I think 6 months, and then you were able to get an extension for another 6 months, went on like that for as long as you needed it, because there's still a lot of people on unemployment here, but they're not getting as much money. But they also have options to go to school and do things like that. But it's time that, you know, we really, you know, we have to reel in the throwaway money, because we've had Democratic leadership in this state, and this state has gone to hell. We're broke. I was at a town hall meeting last week, and the lieutenant governor held the town hall, and I love him. He's like really awesome. He had he's totally against Common Core, and he speaks out about it. But he even said that the plans last year with the previous governor for their budget, that they were going to budget money for education and for teacher raises. For a couple of years, for like 2 years. But you know what? The teachers never got a raise. So now, now it's the Republicans' fault. But the Republicans are picking up where the Dems left off, but they're doing it in a way where it's cleaning it up, because we've got to get cleaned up. You look at a lot of the other states with the whether they have Republican leadership, and they're doing really good or better than we are. And we are going to start digging for shale oil, which I'm kind of excited about. Drill, baby, drill. You know, and they've got my rep my local rep was there. And typical of my life, she's a Dem against everything that I'm for. So she had a negative for everything that she had to say. And that woman didn't even reach out to me when it was over. I was kind of annoyed. You meet a constituent for the first time, you just might want to say, hi, how are you, drop dead, something. But she didn't. So anyway, I'm going to get back here to this little, I'm sorry everybody, I feel like I'm all over the place. In Alicia's article, she was writing also that the facilitated directed her, asked her opinion about the editorial, and she kind of felt between a rock and a hard place. And she had to stay undercover, so she kind of did. She didn't want to lie. And she responded, like, our state Republican legislator was able to accomplish all this in the past year? That's unbelievable. Well, she's really happy that this is what's going on. She couldn't show her happiness. Yeah, I know, Lady Michelle, you're absolutely right, and, you know, she wrote about that. She gets into that in this article. That's why I really enjoyed the article and asked her if she would come on the show, because, you know, it was very interesting, and I think everybody should read it. And I'll go ahead and I'll put the link in the chat room for it, but... last time, somebody had said earlier today that it didn't come up, so I'm hoping that it wasn't pulled, because I tried it, and it wasn't coming up either, and it's politichicks.tv/column. Well, if you go to Politichicks TV, that will take you over to the column. Sorry, I'm trying to read and type at the same time, and I'm not really doing all that good. Column. Politichicks. Whoops. Ooh, no, I just can't type. Okay, so I'm just going to take it over to the column part, and then Politichicks goes undercover. It's a really good read. After about a dozen folks arrived, they broke into different groups. The groups were for voter ID, healthcare, and education. And Alicia's an educator, so she went for that one. And there were six, there were six people in the group. They voiced their concerns about dropouts, school performance, testing, drugs, violence in schools, responsibilities of teachers, and the teachers' pay. Well, you know, teachers get paid more than I do. And, you know, they complain that they can't live on what they've got. I don't know what to say. I mean, yeah, it sucks. These days, everybody's broke. But I read somewhere that if your bills are paid, you've got your mortgage is paid, you've got your lights on, you're really not broke. You just don't have the extra money to do what you used to be able to do. So I kind of went with that, so I don't feel as broke as I usually feel, just because I can't go buy extra lunches and things like that. It's really not the end of the world. Anyway, let me go ahead and take a quick break. First, I want to tell you all about LifeLock. If you are not aware that we have LifeLock on our conservativemedia.com, one of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it could take months, even longer, to recover from it. If you can recover at all, don't let this happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding membership service, 24/7, 365 days. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be glad you did. Right.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? GoatsfortheOldGoat.com.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, and I'm back, and I'm pretty sure that was Alicia. She must have gotten disconnected, because there was somebody on that I didn't have enough time to go back. So, Alicia, if you're listening, please call back. There she is. Okay, let's bring her on. Alicia.
Yes, yes.
How are you?
How are you doing tonight? Oh, just fine.
I'm very good. Good. Well, thank you for coming on such short notice. You wrote this article the other day. I'm like, I've got to have her on.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much on behalf of PolitiChicks and just the work we're doing here in North Carolina. We appreciate this opportunity.
Oh, we appreciate you going undercover, getting the dirt.
Well, really, it's something that anyone can do, and I would highly encourage everyone to just take a look at what's going on in their community. A lot of North Carolina has just been specifically targeted, and there are a lot of community organizing groups that appear very innocent on the surface, but have some really detrimental progressive goals in mind for the group.
Yes, I live in North Carolina. I'm in the Raleigh area, so I'm right, like you, on the home front, basically knowing what's going on, and I call it Immoral Mondays, where they're all out there.
Right, so you were up there at the Capitol when the NAACP and all the groups were getting arrested on Mondays, right?
Well, I haven't gone up there. I work... I worked in the Raleigh area. I work over by one of the malls. But so I can't get over there, but I hear about it. And it's just like, you know, they get arrested. Now, you know, we conservatives, we clean up after ourselves. We don't do illegal stuff to get arrested, but we try not. You know, we might get something stupid like jaywalking just because they can. And I don't know.
Because we're working, we don't have time to go protest anyway.
Right, exactly. I make my living working. And
well, I'm in the western part of North Carolina, but this Blueprint NC is a statewide organization, and they're following the exact plan that... that Colorado has already fallen to. Colorado was recently changed from a more conservative to a progressive state by following the very guidelines that now are being used against us here in North Carolina.
Now, when I read your article, Alicia, I looked at it and said, okay, we can find a solution here. What do you think of that? If we go face to face and toe to toe.
Well, I think the first thing is to be aware of what is going on. As I said in the article, as I was there at the meeting, I was listening to the as they talked about the issues, like for instance with education, when they spoke about the need for they talked about with the school discipline, with the just with the teacher responsibilities. With the dropout rate, with the crime in school, we all see the same problems. The difference is they have a different solution in mind, and their solution always involves bigger government, more taxpayer money, and more rooms to fail programs. So I think we agree on the problems as the solutions we're going in. We want to go in two different directions. But I would say a majority of the people that were there were not what I would call true believers. They were there because they sincerely thought they could do something good in their community. And in fact, that's the way that this organization appealed to the community. They put ads in our newspaper saying, you know, come out and work good. You know, if you're concerned, you know, about the children, if you're concerned about what's going on with the local political process, you know, this is a chance to be empowered. Come out and work with us. So I think you have a lot of people that feel frustrated, and they're not, maybe they don't see themselves as political, or they're not joined in with a specific political group, and that's kind of the ones that these progressive groups that the NC Blueprint is implementing, that's kind of who they're fishing for. But I think the thing is for us to be able to reach them with the conservative message before they get taken in by this progressive message. Because I think they honestly feel like they're doing good. They just don't see where these programs are going to lead.
But don't they understand about the money part? It's like we got the lottery for education, but that money is going to the top brass that runs it.
It's
going to the schools, not 100%.
Right. Well, one thing that was never brought up in any of the huddles, the little talks that they had at the beginning of the meetings, there were no actual statistics and facts that were mentioned. they would talk about a problem, and then they would propose a progressive group that's already in the area, and then say how this group was trying to work good, they just needed more money. Or, and it's just taken as a given by what people pick up in the mainstream media, as teachers are underpaid, and we need more money, you know, everything is for the children. And there was no digging down into the actual facts about, well, how much money is spent per student, how much money are the teachers paid, you know, where exactly is this money going? It's just a big black hole, but people aren't, unless you are conservative and you're digging deeper into the issues, the majority of our public, they just go by the little catchphrases. You know, it's just taken as a given that we need more money for education. But I think that's something that that we as conservatives, we have to get out with charts, with gas, with information to actually put a number on that issue, because it's so easy for them to catch people up in the emotion of it. You know, it's for the children and we need more money, without realizing the waste and the fraud that is going on in our education industry.
Yeah. Geez, there was, I'm trying to remember who it was, and even what state it was in, but somebody had gone through, it might have even been North Carolina, went through all the public records of the schools, like the receipts that the principal would write off, and a lot of it was fraudulent. It was like he was putting gas in his personal car, and using the company car and things like that. So a lot of it was fraudulent. And I don't remember what the outcome of that was, but
problem that you run into in any large organization. The government especially is notorious for waste and fraud and abuse. There is no oversight, there is no accountability. And like I said, people just get, the general public just gets caught up emotionally into we need more money. But there's never any kind of audit that's performed. There's never any kind of accountability for the programs, for, you know, where does the money go? But I think that's something that, as conservatives, that we're missing out on bringing that message to people. There's a YouTube video that you can go online to see after one of the Moral Mondays when the progressives were there protesting the amount of funding supposedly that our Republican legislature cut from the education funding. Some conservatives undercover there were going around with a petition to have these progressives sign the petition to restore funding to the levels that the Democrats had the education funding set at. But the Republicans actually have increased the funding above what the Democrats had when they were in charge 2 years ago. But the progressives, they don't know that. So they were signing the petition actually to cut education funding. So I think an idea like that, you know, to reach the community, that's very eye-opening to people, because they, like I said, they get caught up in the catchphrases and they don't realize the actual facts and statistics.
Ah, that's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. So we really have to be as sneaky as they do.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, too, it's I see it more as being, the Bible says to be wise or to be as shrewd as serpents, but yet we have to be as innocent as doves. And I think the whole purpose with their goals, I think they use, the goals that they use are incredible. I mean, they really know psychology. They are able to target a group. They are able to position their message in a way that appeals on an emotional level to the general public, but it's their ends that they have in mind that are purely evil and destructive. So I think we're harming ourselves by not following the message that they use. Whereas we target the general public, we craft our message to reach that public. We have to look and say, you know, what is it that this group needs, and how can we provide, you know, the answer and the information that they're looking for. Because ultimately, our goal is to lead to more freedom and to more individual liberty. We're not looking for more regulations and more government programs and higher taxes. So
right.
I think we have the right goals, but it's being able to present our message in the way that the progressives do, that where we can make that emotional connection with the people in the way that they can do so well.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that really bothers me too, what they do with schools is, you know, they give you, thank God my children are older, they're not in school anymore, but people that I work with, they have children in school, and they have to go out and get all these supplies,
mm-hmm.
and they go into a bucket, basically, where
mm-hmm.
everybody, all the kids could use them in case somebody didn't
mm-hmm.
couldn't afford one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, these supplies are not cheap for
mm-hmm.
working parents, you know, for anybody.
Right.
And I know, I donate, you know, especially when there's a sale, I'm going to get a whole bunch of something, and I donate. You know, it depends, and I give them to whoever,
mm-hmm.
you know. This year, somebody my husband works with, he said he was collecting stuff. You know, other years I gave to other different, just other schools, and sometimes I would just buy it and put it in one of the drop boxes that they have there for
mm-hmm.
supplies. Just because, you know, I can. And
right.
I can't open
mm-hmm.
these, but, mm-hmm. I know that's helpful.
Well, it's very laudable to do charity. Charity is a virtue, but there's a difference between charity and coerced socialism, as they do in the school, you know, when they make everyone bring in the supplies and then share them. When you can look at the funding per student, like North Carolina spends on average about $7,500 per student just, you know, at the state level. A private school education is about half that much. I think we could get every child in North Carolina a private school education for half the amount that we're spending on the public school education. And there's no comparison, you know, with the overall results, with the testing results, and all between a private and a public school education.
That's interesting you say that, but I have to just do a quick commercial, so if you bear with me for 2 minutes.
Sure. Okay.
Thanks.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number 1 on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
Okay, then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Okay, Conservative Nation Media is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But if you're not from the Volunteer State, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading all over America. Dave Vance brings his veteran insight and the most informative guests to to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure you check them out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays, 7, well, I guess next Monday, it would be a 7, 6 Central, Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. Okay. Let's see if that's going to go. No. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay, Alicia, we could pick up where we left off because...
Okay.
All right, I was... Have you gone to a town hall meeting with Dan Forrest, Lieutenant Governor?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have.
Oh, my God.
On his campaign in my county.
Yes, that man
rocks. I think
rocks.
He is incredible. Right. Mm-hmm.
He rocks, because I was just at one the other day, and he was saying what you were just sharing about the education that they were kind of picking up from where Bev Perdue left off, but
mm-hmm.
the teachers never got raises from her budget, although it was in the budget for them to get raises.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now it looks like it's the Republicans' fault.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And the progressives are so good at that with their policies, even if it is a failure on their part. I mean, we can even look at the bankruptcy of Detroit here, you know, within the past month. But they have a way of flipping that around. You know, it's a failure of capitalism. It's a failure of conservative ideas instead of taking responsibility, you know, for their own actions and for the outcomes. But I just think with education, though, I just see a need to call for an audit and for overall accountability, because we know there is enough money going there, but what exactly is that money going to? And
right.
Anytime that we call for cuts or cuts are made, the first cuts that are going to be made are the ones that are going to be noticeable, the ones that people are going to see. It's going to be the teachers. When, you know, it's not going to be that administrators are going to lose their jobs or, you know, non-necessary employees, you know, will lose their jobs. It's the same way as with the sequestration in Washington, D.C. You know, the first thing that goes are the White House tours. You know, the things that are for the children are the things that progressives will take away first in order to make it as noticeable as possible. But I think as conservatives, we have to combat that. We have to shine a light on the entire budget to say, look, you know, we know there is enough here. Where exactly is it going? And then we have to be able to present that information in an eye-catching, entertaining way. Like I think, you know, charts and graphs can do so much. We have to be able to make the number, make it real for people. Like our national debt is like $16 trillion. That's a terrifying amount. But you say that to people, no one can visualize $16 trillion. So you have to take it in terms of, like, you know, what your individual amount that you would owe to the national debt would be. You know, that's astronomical. People can take a number like that and break it down and make it personal. And that is what the progressives are able to do. You know, they take their message and they shape it and they make people feel like they're empowered, like they can make the change, and really it's the change that the progressives want. But they make them feel like they're working good in the community. But I think, you know, we have the facts, we have the information, we have history, everything is on our side, but we're falling down in the part of conveying our message to the general public.
Well, in my thing, too, is, you know, they start calling us names, and then we just say, you know what, you're done. You know,
mm-hmm.
I had an argument with somebody on Facebook the other day. Surprise, surprise. And this person's a friend of my brother's, and
mm-hmm.
he's like, oh, yeah, you're real right-wing, blah, blah, blah. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I said, you don't know me from a hole in the wall. You don't
mm-hmm.
know how compassionate I really am. Mm-hmm. And you don't know me well enough to know if I'm a racist or not.
Mm-hmm.
All I did was ask him a simple question.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on and on and on. And, mm-hmm. you know, I kept my head. I mm-hmm. could have gotten nasty, but that's not going to get my point across either.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a former elementary school teacher, I have seen my share of name-calling. And all that's just very childish behavior. And but whenever an adult resorts to something like that, either you're hitting at a point that they don't feel comfortable answering otherwise, they don't have an answer, or they won't stop the debate, and so they resort to the name-calling. And that is something that the left does so quickly, and it's something that's so hard not to respond to in kind. I think at that point we have to kind of take the advice that we would give to a child. You have to just walk away at that point. We're not going to be able to reach the ones that are like that. We're not going to be able to reach the ones that are the true believers that know exactly what they're doing in forwarding the progressive message. We're not going to reach the ones that are asleep, you know, that are just the mindless followers that don't think deeply about situations and circumstances. But I do think there are some out there that honestly want to do good and feel like they are doing good, but they just don't understand what it is they're caught up in, what these programs are ultimately going to lead to. And I think that's the ones that we have to tailor our message to. And just as in
right.
the Revolutionary War, there was only, you know, about a third of the country that was actually involved in the revolution. I think there's about a third of the public now that is, you know, conservative, that lives by conservative principles, and maybe they don't even realize it, and that's why they get caught up in these attractive progressive programs like Blueprint NC, and they'll end up voting for programs and policies that are going to hurt them, that are going to diminish their individual liberty, but they don't realize that. They think that they're working good, but we've got to reach them with our message.
Yeah, and you know that. And that's all, for me, part of being politically correct as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where it got us today.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's another tactic that the progressives use, too, to say, you know, that you can't say that, you can't discuss that. You know, it's not politically correct to say what is common sense, you know, what everyone
right.
knows to be so, but you can't say it. But I think... I think there is a way, too, though, to be able to say the truth, but I think we've got to tailor it to the audience that we're trying to reach. And I think it's kind of assessing the audience and saying, okay, what is it that they're looking for? What is it that they're interested in? What is it that conservatism can do for them? And then tailor our message and our programs, not change our message or our programs. We're not being deceitful the way the progressives are. But I really do feel like conservatism is the answer. And if people just realized if it was presented in an honest, straightforward way that connected with them, I think that the majority of people would see the truth of that and connect with it.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and actually, I'm looking for it. I printed out your article. And
mm-hmm.
in here, you had written that there was a woman that had mentioned something else. It was when the group, they kind of ignored what she had said.
Right, with the voter ID.
Voter ID said, yeah.
Right. We had so many people. I was actually shocked. There were people that I knew from just the general community and all that had come to this meeting, and they're not progressives, you know, by any definition of the word, but they were, I felt like they were sucked in by the idea of working good for the community. And you could see just in the comments that people made, and the facilitators are really kind of evaluating people too, you know, with the comments that they were making. This one person, you know, made the comment about voter ID, well, if it's the law of the land, you know, what we'll have to do is make sure that we're in compliance with the law. But that was not the direction that the facilitators wanted to take the discussion. They wanted it to remain at an emotional level to where it was unfair, it was biased, it was racist against you know, minorities, and it was trying to suppress minority votes. So there was no consideration at all given to the merits a voter ID. And I think as conservatives, that's something that we need to focus on. It's not that we want to suppress minority votes. It's that we want all votes to be legitimate. If you have a minority that is voting and someone else commits voter fraud, they are disenfranchising the minority vote. So it's protecting them by using voter ID. And voter and ID is just something that we use in every facet of our daily lives.
Exactly.
And what's more precious than the vote? So there's things that I think if we present it in an even emotional way that connects with people, they'll see the obviousness of our arguments. And the bottom line, too, is the only way that you could be against voter ID is you want to cheat. I mean, there's
right.
no other way to look at it whenever you examine all the evidence and all the arguments against it. And all. Because if you're against vote integrity, it's because you want to cheat.
Yeah.
And I think
okay.
until we can honestly say that and until we can, you know, set our arguments just as strongly as the left does, they'll continue to beat us. Because the thing is, they put us on the defensive, you know, when they throw out the racist word. And the first thing is we want to jump back and go, oh, no, you know, I'm not a racist. I, you know, I have friends that are, you know, da-da-da I've never said this or done that. We get defensive and we get off message. And then that's exactly why they throw those words around. But we've
right.
got to see, you know, how they're attacking and head that off, not let it be successful against us. And then, two, we've got to continue. Whenever they do an attack like that, it's because we're being successful in what we're doing. You know, if we weren't a threat, they would just ignore us and leave us alone. So the only
right.
time they'll start with an attack like that is just when they are concerned that we're going to have some kind of effect.
Yeah, I have to take another quick break, so bear with me
sure.
again, please.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, and thank you for your service.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Okay, and we're back with Women Patriots. If anybody has any questions, give us a call at 718-305-7176. And we are talking to Alicia Todd, who's a North Carolinian politichick. Woohoo! Us chicks rock. And we were just talking about the voter ID law that has been implemented, and the progressives are not happy about it. But, you know, Alicia, one thing, when they were first talking about the bill, my nephew was in college, and he was having a hissy fit about it. And I'm like, when do you take responsibility to vote?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, well, I'm in school. What if I forget? Well, that's your problem, not mine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. And that is part of just being a responsible adult, that you take the responsibility to be registered and to vote.
And the other thing that I believe was in that bill is you have to vote in your district.
Right.
But to vote outside your district, you're not doing your district any good because you're not voting for your district. You're voting in somebody else's district, which is not fair to those people either.
That is a problem that they've had with, especially in the college towns, and you know that like being from Wake, that you get the college students that their dependents, you know, in out of state, you know, with their parents and whatever state they're from, but then they vote when they're at college, and you always see the college areas are more liberal, and the progressive politicians make a special play, you know, for the college students. And so then they vote in the area where they go to school, but then they're not really residents. The policies that they vote for are not going to affect them economically, are not going to affect them, you know, with their jobs, because after college, they're going to be leaving and going back to their home states or going to, you know, wherever they do find employment. So, it's kind of the grifter mentality of, you know, we'll move in here and we'll vote it this way and make it liberal and set up these long-term policies, and then they just, you know, up and leave. So that is one thing that that this bill addresses. But it's saying that, it's not saying that you can't vote in your college area, but it's saying you can't double vote. You can't vote, you know, back home, and you can't vote, you know, at college also, because we have college students that do that as well. And it says, too, that you would have to, you can't just use a college ID, that you'd have to have something showing that you have a residency, that you have a vested interest in that community to be able to vote.
Right.
It's all ideas that when you look at when you really understand the concepts behind them and look at the merits of the argument, there's no way that the progressives can win. So what they have to do is fall back on an emotional argument of suppressing the vote. And compare it back with, you know, with Jim Crow laws and poll taxes and things like that, that you get an immediate emotional reaction from people. And then people are just, you know, automatically going to be against it before they even hear the merits of your argument.
Yes. And you know, I found that part, it was number 4 of any idea that strayed from the progressive course of action was immediately shot down while discussing the voter ID issue. One of the attendees stated, well, if the law now says that people have to have government issued ID, what we're going to do is bus people into place to get the ID. You already bus them to the poll. I'm paraphrasing here. And the facilitators basically ignored her.
Because
that wasn't part of their agenda.
No, there was a lot of stress upon getting voters registered to vote in the first place, but there was no emphasis at all on getting people these voter IDs. But I thought, I mean, why is it racist to have a voter ID, but it's not racist to register in the first place? I mean, why can't you just have anybody walk in on poll? It's like they're fine with going to great lengths to get a registration, but they do not want the voter ID. So I think if, you know, how can you be for one and not be for the other? And how can one be racist and the other not be racist? And if you are already going to such great lengths to get the registrations, to bus people to the polls, to make sure that they do the absentee ballots, then why not comply with the ID law? And I think, you know, the only conclusion that you can draw from that is that that's a loophole. That's a way to be able to cheat. And also that's the one thing that they do not want to comply with.
Yeah, and that is annoying because I just kind of laugh that, you know, people, they're so ridiculous. But, you know, as the blueprint shows, what they mentioned at very first when it first came out, that everything and anything that the Republicans are going to do, they're going to fight it.
Right.
You know, and they've been doing it, and
that's exactly what came out in the leaked memo from Blueprint NC that the Charlotte Observer reported on. This group goes to great lengths to appear, in fact, they say in their literature that they're strictly nonpartisan, but their leaked memo that showed their plans, they literally said that they wanted to eviscerate, litigate, and cogitate and agitate Republicans at every level. And they've especially gone after our governor, Pat McCrory, where they're videotaping him at every event. They're doing running list of the supposed campaign promises that he's broken, because it says from their internal memo that 30% of the public had not made their mind up yet about Governor McCrory. So what they wanted to do was be able to negatively shape his image so that he would be poisoned, you know, among that 30%. And that's why, my county in particular, they said, and I'm assuming it's the same for the other counties where these ACORN-type groups are targeted, the reason that they're targeting North Carolina and these counties in particular is because we have such a low voter turnout in off-presidential year elections. At the last presidential election, 2012, we had over 60% of our registered voters turned out at the polls. But in an off-year election, that number plummets to between 6 to 15%. And that's the local officials that are going to affect our day-to-day lives, more so than Washington, D.C. But that's
right.
What this group was saying, that you could literally have just a 3% gain in the voter turnout, and you could sway the elections from now on. And so that's what they're trying to do in these communities, is draw in people that think they're going to be working good, get them to vote for these progressive policies unknowingly, and then sway every election from now on. So I think, just for us as conservatives to say, well, we get out and vote at election time, is not enough, because there's, basically, 85 to 90% of the population in our counties that aren't voting in these off-year elections. Those are the ones that we've got to be reaching. We've got to share the conservative message with them, and we've got to make sure that they are actively involved in these issues that are going to affect them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, with the voter ID, how they could say that it's racist, but we do have to get them the message. Now, mm-hmm. with the one thing that I'm seeing with the federal government being as unconstitutional as it possibly can be,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot more people that are paying more attention,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying more attention to federal. However, they know their local officials now.
Mm-hmm.
So they're getting more involved, which is a
mm-hmm.
good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's neither Republican or Democrat. It's American.
But
we're American. We're founded on we have the Constitution to back us.
Mm-hmm.
And people, my boss, he's liberal and drives me nuts half the time. But we're not allowed to talk about politics anymore because I they were saying something about the president, and I said, you know what, that's not his job. And
mm-hmm.
they're looking at me like I'm crazy. What do you mean it's not his job? He's the president. So I broke out my little pocket constitution. I said, here, this is the president's job. And they were like, oh, my God, is that really old, or does it have all the amendments in there? I'm like, oh, it's updated. Check it out. And
uh-huh.
they were like, oh, my God.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had to get more. So I'm giving them to the younger generation. There's this one girl that I work with. I love her to death. She's 25, and she's got a young son in school. And I've been telling her about the Common Core.
Now, I didn't know this until I went to the town hall meeting last week, but the Common Core has been implemented in this state.
Mm-hmm. So well, it's supposed to be on a 2-year study, but it's kind of like with Obamacare, even though they were waiting for it to work its way through the Supreme Court, they're still implementing, you know, every chance they get. They don't take a break or a rest from the progressive agenda.
Right.
So it's definitely being implemented at every level that can possibly push it through.
And it's really, it just makes life so much more difficult to try to, you know, just, they state the facts, and yet they don't care because they see it their way, and that's how all this nonsense starts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
one thing I saw with this progressive meeting. They catered the message to the individual. They didn't overwhelm the individuals. Really, you know, when you have a coworker that, you know, you want to share about like Obama's unconstitutional actions, or you want to talk about the tax code, or you want to talk about Common Core, we have, as conservatives that study and are aware of the issues, we have so much information that it just overwhelms the other side, you know, or people that we're trying to share. I think we need to take the approach that the progressives do, where you think, okay, what is it that this person needs to hear? What is it that they can handle at the level of knowledge that they have, and slowly build upon that? I use the example of it's like trying to teach a kindergartner the calculus, you know, when they're just, you know, basically fumbling with the numbers 1 through 10. And then, you know, our knowledge is so much further advanced now, but it just overwhelms them. And politics is something that people seem to run from naturally anyway, unless they are, you know, a political animal. But people don't realize how politics does affect their daily lives. But that's why I think we need to do like the progressives and say, okay, what is important to this individual? Usually it's family or children or their, you know, neighborhood, their job. There'll be some kind of personal connection that we can make with them, and then share, you know, our truth that the conservative message is the only thing that's going to lead to greater freedom and individual liberty.
Yeah, and I actually did that when last year, right, you know, before the elections. This one woman that I was talking to, she actually worked in a fast food place that I frequent,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking, and we became very friendly, and we were talking, and I told her how it starts at home with education, because at first she wasn't getting the what does education have to do with anything, and it's like the education comes from home, because your parent, you know, your kids go to school and they're going to learn, and the parents have to keep them on top of it, and if they, you know, how they have the no child loses thing, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
if a child loses, they're going to want to better themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to stay challenged. If they're just
mm-hmm.
going to get a trophy for doing nothing, then, yeah, I'll do nothing too. But my personality is not that type.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the rest of them are coming from.
Right. And then, too,
right.
that's not what's best, you know, for individuals have to be personally responsible in order to be successful adults. And we
right.
are kind of the party and the people of personal responsibility. You know, it begins with us. I think the progressives see it as, you know, the change and the chance to do good begins with them. But they don't see personal responsibility in the same way that we do. They make excuses for things that we hold people accountable. And then, too, they think that education and more government spending and more programs are the answer. But there are things that, you know, if a person doesn't exercise personal responsibility, you can't change. You can't rehabilitate them. You can't educate them to the point of being successful, you know, they have to begin, you know, with their own decision-making process and all, in order to better themselves.
Right, right. And I have to take another break, so we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Okay.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, NeighborWorks America, and the Ad Council.
Okay, and you're back with Women Patriots, and we have Leisha Todd on the line with us, and we are talking about the Blueprint NC and Leisha's undercover work that she did such a great job about and wrote about. Questions, comments, call-in number, get in on the conversation, 718-305-7176. Okay. Where were we at, Leisha? I kind of forgot.
We were talking about the individual responsibility that is kind of at the heart of conservatism. I'll just say I think it's important for us to understand how progressives view us. This is from the Blueprint NC website. They say there are powerful and well-funded forces here in North Carolina that believe all problems arise from individual choices and that the American way is everyone for himself. We hear them claiming every day to be the voice of the average person, and we know their policies are those of narrow self-interest, not the common good. So that's what they believe that they're working for, is the common good. But in a bizarre way, I mean, they're working for their own self-interest, which they believe to be the common good. It's like you were talking about speaking with liberals. I've never seen anyone that, even though they may be the most liberal person in the world, everyone just naturally, as a human being, you put your own self-interest first. But conservatism is the only political theory and philosophy that works, because if people are working for their own self-interest, their own betterment within the guidelines and the groundwork of the laws and the Constitution, then everyone benefits. The progressive programs of, you know, sharing the wealth or, you know, spreading the wealth around, or having more funding for this or that or the other, you know, basically it makes us subservient to the government instead of being able to reach our own potential. But they don't see it that way. But I think even in the way that they live their lives, though, they kind of live their lives, it's almost schizophrenic. know, they live in a way that doesn't, they don't practice what they preach. They want to, you know, tax the rich, but they don't want to tax themselves. You never see a liberal that tries to give more than their fair share, or tries to, you know, pay more than whatever their taxes are. You know, when it comes tax time, they still figure down, you know, the last cent that they have to pay, or the, you know, biggest return that they can get. Because, I mean, it just is human nature, you know, to look out for our own self-interest.
Right. Hey, Obama did it, too.
Yeah, yes, everybody does.
This woman that I work with, she was like, I thought she was going to have a heart attack after she did her taxes. She came into work one day and she's like, I have to pay. I've never had to pay. I'm like, oh, well, welcome to my world.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, oh, you know, because I have to pay every year too. No matter how much they take out, I still owe.
I've even had liberal friends that would, you know, make the comment about what they had to pay in taxes, and I would ask them, you know, how much did they pay over? And they were like, no, I'm not going to pay over. I just pay my amount. That's it. And I said, but you want to raise, you know, you vote to raise taxes on everyone else, but you know, you could voluntarily give more and alleviate, you know, the tax burden on others. And I would know that they will never do that. Something else, too, I think it's effective to, I think as conservatives, we need to speak to just the small business people in our towns. I've spoken to so many that they vote progressive because they get caught up in social issues, but they vote against their own self-interest, you know, for their businesses because of the just the tax policies that they're voting into place. I think the progressives, they kind of get caught up in this trap of trying to feel like they're doing good, but instead they're kind of increasing the bondage that they're placing not only on themselves, but, you know, on us as well. But what we have to do is be able to better communicate the conservative message that, you know, there's a freedom and there's a liberty and all that we can all aspire to, that we can try to reach, you know, by following conservative principles.
Right, you know.
We have to follow the progressives and cater our message to those people, say, what is it that they need to hear? How can conservatism, you know, meet their needs? So we have to do a much better job at that, because that's where the progressives are running circles around us.
Yeah, and, you know, their beliefs, too. When the big gun grab first started, they first started talk, my boss said, this is America, that's never going to happen. And it's like, oh, really? And I don't know that if he watches the news or not, but there are issues that are happening. I also heard that Obama was going to be signing the treaty, the UN treaty, while he was on vacation. And quite honestly, I don't know if that happened or not.
I haven't heard about that. Well, one thing I think in an area like that, we can follow what the progressives do. What I saw at this meeting was everything that they talked about, everything that they presented, they did it in a positive way. And I think as conservatives, we're rightly concerned about losing our rights. But I think we can put a positive spin on that, like with the gun control. I mean, no one wants to have, you know, a child shot. No one wants to see, you know, the violence and all that people do with guns. But there's a positive spin on that. Look at the people that have had their lives saved and all because they had a gun and they were protected. That's exactly why the Founding Fathers, you know, put that as the Second Amendment. There was the, you know, right after the Newtown shooting, there was the mother in Georgia that had her twin children. They had a break-in at the house, and she had them upstairs in the closet, and the guy still came in and was breaking into the closet. And if she had not had a gun and her husband had not, you know, trained her in how to use the gun, you know, Lord knows what would have happened to her and her children. She would have just been another statistic. But I think there are all kinds of stories like that where people have exercised their Second Amendment rights and done something positive with it.
And those are the kind of stories I think we need to get out, because that makes an emotional connection, you know, with the progressives and all the people
the
late, that...
excuse me, the mainstream media doesn't report it. So fewer people know about things like that.
Well, I think that's something, too. We have to find alternative ways to get our message out. I think Facebook is great for that. Your radio blog is great for that. I know here in my own hometown we have a conservative online newspaper that one of the members of our group has started up to kind of compete with our local printed newspaper. And
cool.
so we have to find alternative ways to get the message out. And
right.
I think you're very involved with the overpasses for Obama. And
I
that's am. Another way to get beyond preaching to the choir, you know, to take our message out to the mainstream people that don't politically align themselves or don't really even know what's going on, you know, in the world, much less in politics. But I think we need to, that's one thing I saw with the progressives, they would brainstorm, they would try any kind of method and all to reach people, and they make that emotional connection and all to where people will even work against their own best interest because they think they're doing good.
And that's scary.
That is. That's terrifying that people don't break down the issues and they don't look at the end result of what they're looking for. And I think, I mean, we have, you know, we talk about, you know, Greece, the bankruptcy there, and the island nation of Cyprus, the bankruptcy there, but that's so far away, Americans don't make that connection. They think it can't happen here. But look at, like, the city of Detroit now, and there's so many cities in California that have filed for bankruptcy. You know, it's happening little by little, but there are definite things that we can point to now and say, okay, this is where the progressive roadmap is going to lead you. But then we have to show, you know, an alternative, you know, with the conservatives. And we can see, you know, the way that Detroit was, you know, under the conservative capitalist system. You know, and then what the progressive agenda has done to it. And I'm saying,
right.
You know, it's if you follow the same roadmap, you're going to end up at the same destination. I think that's what we
right.
have to do is take actual examples and then help people to make an emotional and a concrete connection and all with them. Because that's
right.
something that the progressives and all, they can't hide something like, you know, that you can't hide the city of Detroit. It's there. And they may try to downplay it or blame conservatives or capitalism, you know, as the cause for the failure. But it's easily traceable, you know, to their policies.
Yeah. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com that you're a conservative and you love America just like we do. And you don't want to get caught short in case of the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get back to the basics of life in an emergency. Since if that's the case, you're going to want Supply Depot to get everything from patriotic gear and survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family, and your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Deep banner, and that will take you to the world's best known warehouse for the conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com, click on the Patriot Depot banner, and join it in the conservative revolution where America always wins. And Alicia, I'm sorry, I got to play out these two more commercials.
Okay. Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains,
If you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Okay, and you're listening to Women Patriots. And we have Alicia Tan on the line with us, a North Carolinian politichick. And we've been talking about the progressive message and what we need to do to counteract that, basically. In your article, you had broken it down to a whole lot of things, Alicia. And the one here, the number 7, having the beginning of the huddle and the issue. Mm-hmm. When looking for the strong emotion that you were talking about, do they sit there and, like, look for people's body language?
Yeah, there were three facilitators. There were three facilitators that were in charge of, there was one in charge of each huddle, and you could just tell that they were trained to to watch your body language, to listen to key words that people use when they spoke, to even see what a person's reaction was to something that someone else in the group said. So it was definitely an evaluation that they were doing all the time, and they were very careful too in the way that they even stated anything. I felt like at first like the main facilitator of the group kind of picked me out as a spy at the beginning. It was my first meeting and all of the group, and I didn't really know everyone. I knew of some people, I knew some people, you know, through the community that attended, but I didn't have any, you know, good friends and all that were there, so I didn't have anyone like to vouch for me. So I felt like the main facilitator was really checking me out, you know, the whole time to see how I was going to react to things. And one of the other facilitators, they were talking about local elections, and she was giving us websites on how to look up the voting records of our local officials, and she said, to make sure that they're voting. And then she kind of paused, and she said, the way that you would want them to. But, you know, the message was clear there, you know, to make sure that they're voting progressively. But the main facilitator then jumped in immediately, and he said, well, we'll stress that, you know, we're nonpartisan, you know, we're politically neutral, and, you know, it's all about empowering yourself. And then he even went so far as to make the statement. He said that he himself hadn't gotten politically involved until the prior year, and that he would have to categorize himself as kind of right, center, and it made me want to laugh out loud. You know, there's no way that you're right of center and that you've only been politically involved for a year. You know, you're obviously a professional political community organizer.
A liar.
Yes. And I think there's a thing about conservatives.
Liar.
Yes. As conservatives, you know, we can't lie and all about our positions. And then, too, we don't have any reason to lie. You know, we're not... you know, we're not trying to hide our message. We're not trying to hide what our goals are. But what the progressives, you know, they're kind of caught up in this. They can't really tell the people that they're catching up in their message. They can't really tell them, okay, you know, whenever we're finished with you, you're going to look like Detroit. you know, but that's exactly, you know, where they're leading. So they have to use, you know, powerful words and phrases to kind of cover their agenda. And then even to outright lie the way that this facilitator did in order to keep from feeling like he was going to alienate, you know, one of the members that were there that night.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. But I would say, as conservatives, we need to see ourselves as community organizers. You know, it all begins at the local level. I mean, just our own friends and family members. I think when we really understand the conservative message, we're able to communicate it to someone else. I mean, that's what, you know, understanding begins with being able to communicate. And we have to, with our friends and families, we should be able to assist them to know the best way to present the message to them. So I think that's the first people that we reach, are our own friends and family. And then we expand from there, you know, out into the community. And the progressives are powerful in that they take people and they plug them into the areas that interest them and into the positions that they're best suited for. I know just being involved with my own Tea Party, a lot of times we're very, you know, short on manpower, or, you know, we have an idea for, you know, some kind of community action, or you know, something that we want to take part in. But it's usually, you know, the same, you know, five people or so that volunteer all the time. And I think, you know, there's other people, though, that they have interest in different areas. What we need to do is make use of those people, because everything is politically involved. You know, it's like the spokes on a wheel. It all goes back to politics. And I think
right.
We need to take people and say, okay, you're interested in education. You know, this will be the area that you're working in. You're interested in, you know, the rules and regulations that our local politicians are passing. Okay, you'll be in this area. And then that person has a natural connection with that area. They feel more comfortable working in that area, and we can accomplish so much more like that. I think what we're doing is spreading ourselves too thin, and then we're constantly reinventing the wheel. You know, where we have the same people doing the same thing again and again, and we just get burned out. Another thing too that really struck me with this progressive group is, they were never negative, and they were never discouraged. Any idea that anyone put forth, it didn't matter how off the wall it was, the facilitators would take it and praise it, and other group members would follow their example. And then they may take it and reshape it into a completely different direction, but it still, they were able to do it in a way that made the person that suggested the idea feel like it was still their idea. Like they had come up with this, you know, this great idea that was going to change the community for the better. And I think as conservatives, I don't know if it's that we're more realistic or that we're used to being, you know, thwarted by the progressive agenda and all, but I think so many times we get discouraged and we give up, and all too easy, but we just don't want to try anymore. But the progressives, they're not like that. You know, they're constantly out there pushing their agenda forward. They never rest. And I think progressives are not going to, they don't waste their resources. Like I said, I'm a very staunch conservative, and I'm convinced of the rightness of conservative principles. But this group they were very warm, they were very accepting, they were very positive. And if I were not already, you know, politically firm in my beliefs, that would have been the exact kind of group that I would have been swayed by. Just because, I mean, it was like a cult-like atmosphere. I think how many people in the community that we just haven't reached yet with the conservative message that want to be good are going to be sucked into a group like this. And I think that's what we especially have to reach our friends and families first to make sure that we're standing strong for conservative principles. There's no way that we can combat a big organized effort like Blueprint NC, if we haven't reached our own family members and all first.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And you also put in here about the money, that they have a lot more money. Did they donate?
Yes.
Did they get it donated?
Well, they had a little donation cup
set up on one of the tables when you came in, and I was like the third person at the meeting, and there were already a few dollars in the little cup by then, so I think it was already seated, you know, before anyone came in. And I never saw anyone actually putting any money in the donation cup there. But Blueprint NC is actually kind of an umbrella organization of like about 40 different progressive groups throughout the state of North Carolina. And they get all kinds of money from grants. These organizations that are set up to do charity work, they're so quickly taken over within a generation by liberals and by the progressives and out to forward the progressive agenda. A big funder of Blueprint NC is the Reynolds Foundation from the R.J. Reynolds of the tobacco family.
Right.
And, you know, but, I mean, R.J. Reynolds himself was, you know, of course, a businessman. He would have been a capitalist. He would have been the enemy of Blueprint NC. But with the later generations and then with just the direction that the board for the Reynolds Foundation has taken, here they are, you know, essentially fighting against any kind of capitalistic and conservative program like R.J. Reynolds himself would have championed. So they did not seem there was no effort that was mentioned, no program that was mentioned, no idea that they had that they would shoot it down and say, we don't have the money for that. Or they might talk about how much, like it would cost to rent a booth at a certain event. But there was never like a vote on, okay, well, where do we get the money for this? You know, or, you know, how much, you know, would we give to cover this? You know, they would take a vote to say, okay, yes, we'll man this booth and it's going to cost this much. But then it was just taken as a given, you know, that it was going to be done. So, and like I said, to the, I know the main facilitator, he was very evasive about what he did for a living or even where he lived or what his connection was to the community. He just said that he had grown up in this area and then moved away for a few years and now he was back. And but it was very obvious that he was a professional community organizer. I mean, he was a, he was dressed very nicely and you know, basically everybody there had an iPad to take notes on. So it was, they didn't seem to be lacking for money with the group or with its members.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But that, I mean, I think that's a definite disadvantage that conservatives have. But that's why
right,
I think
we're busy paying taxes. We're busy paying the taxes and
yes, we are.
The money.
right. And we get our 501Cs, we get them held up for 3 years by the IRS. And I'll tell you, and they don't have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing. I mean, we're fighting a massive, heavily funded Leviathan here. But that's where we have to combat them with our message. I mean, they have the money, and but we have the truth on our side. We just have to get that message out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I was really intrigued by your article and empowered by what you did. And it's like, this is what we've got to do. We've got to do use their blueprint in our way.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about 10 minutes left. If anybody has a call or questions, feel free to give us a call and get in the conversation. Number 718-305-7176. And you also on your last on number 10 actually, yes, it was your last one. They're determined to win, and they didn't have a box basically to think out of. They just
they did not limit themselves. They had no parameters in which to operate. It was anything goes. And they were all very positive. I mean, when they looked at, like we look at Obamacare and we want it repealed, but we've already got our Republican leader saying, well, it's settled law and it would be a ridiculous thing to shut down the government. They want this voter ID in the state of North Carolina repealed, but not a one of them, you know, looked at it and go, well, it's settled law and we'll just have to, you know, operate, you know, within those parameters now. In fact, the one person that mentioned doing that
was, you know, virtually ignored. So they never accepted that anything is settled, and they never have a doubt that they're going to work and to organize and to overcome whatever the obstacle is and to reach their goal. And that's one thing I think we definitely need to adopt that attitude as conservatives. I mean, because we do, we have the truth, we have history, we have experience on our side. There's no way that we should be letting them defeat us. You know, we have to defeat ourselves by not standing up for the principle that we believe in and that we know work. But I think that's one of the scariest things with dealing with these progressives is they're constantly thinking, they're constantly planning, they're constantly organizing. They're working in our communities all throughout North Carolina right now. And I just, you know, I'm afraid that as conservatives, unless we open our eyes up and start attending these meetings that are open to the public and start watching what they're doing and start combating them using the same methods that they do, you know, we're going to wake up very soon in the same way as Colorado has, you know, where we've switched from a basically conservative state to a progressive state.
Right,
and,
right.
Once that switch is made, it's about impossible to switch back.
We actually just turned red this year, last year, 2012, which I was so grateful for.
Right, and that was to the rise of the Tea Party. That's where we took the community organizing efforts and we put them to use in our state, and we took over our state legislature for the first time in like 140 years.
I know. It's exciting. And he's doing the right things, I think.
Yes.
You know, I got to ask you this one thing on one of the bills.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you got a glimpse of something while you were there. On the abortion bill that was passed, why... I don't understand why women, or anybody for that matter, would want to go to an unsanitary facility.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that struck me, too. It's the one issue on the progressive agenda that was not brought up at all at the meeting that I went to. Even when they talked about health care, there was never anything about access to what they call birth control, which is, you know, basically abortion on demand, because I think we are a more conservative area, and they knew that wouldn't resonate with the people that were there attending, so that was never brought up. But then, too, I think in our Republican legislature, the way that they were demonized over even bringing up this bill, and then, too, the way that we bring up a bill and we fight it so differently from the way that the progressives would. I mean, that's an excellent point that you made there, saying that why would you go to a facility that wasn't held to basic minimum standards? I mean, there's no way you'd go to a dentist's office that didn't have, you know, a basic standard. And, you know, you can say that, and it makes people cringe to think about going to an unlicensed dentist. To think about, you know, going to an abortion clinic when they're not held to any kind of medical standard. I think that's something that we definitely should have, our GOP legislature should have championed. I wrote another article for PolitiChicks about a month ago, right after that bill passed, about the way that progressives would have, you know, if they were championing this, the way that they would have fought it. I think they would have named the bill after a victim of abortion. You know, it's very hard to document the actual women that die from abortion procedures, just in the same way it's hard to document voter fraud because nobody wants to keep the statistics. But there have been women here in North Carolina that have died after undergoing abortions. So we just like we would have like Amber's Law. If we had named the abortion bill after, you know, one of those women, then when the progressives came back with this is a war on women, we say no, you know, we're championing. And then we have like the actual one. You help people make an actual emotional connection with a victim.
Right.
It was something that you were trying to protect.
I have to bring Duke on. Bear with me 1 minute. Duke is actually, he's having a show tomorrow evening. How are you, Mr. Duke?
I am just fine. Barbara, how are you doing this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. Outside of some VTR issues this evening, it all worked out.
That's one of those things that happens, and all I can say is welcome to life in the big city. Know what I'm saying, yo?
But, yo.
Tomorrow night, yo, for real, yo, tomorrow night on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, we're going to be talking about terrorism and the current situation in Syria. As most people, I think, by now are aware, the White House is doing something that some people might refer to as saber rattling. It's been about a year since President Obama made his famous remark about crossing a red line in Syria, and now there seems to be more than sufficient evidence that Bashar Assad, who is the ruler of Syria, has now used poison gas against the rebels in an uprising against him. And it remains to be seen what the president is going to order our forces to do. But the way I see it, there is no winner, at least not for us, in this situation. So expect a lively discussion tomorrow night on Radio Free America on conservativenationmedia.com, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. Be there or be unfair or something else that rhymes with air. I don't know.
All right, Jude. Thank you.
And all right. Have a great night, ladies.
You too. Thanks.
Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All right, Alicia, we've got about 4 minutes left. How can people find you?
Okay, well, I write an article for Politichicks, so they can go there to follow my articles. And also,
right.
I'm on Facebook as I just go by my initials. It's LT. It's actually LT7.
On Facebook?
On Facebook. It's EL and then TEA for the Tea Party.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
we can all find
follow
you?
My post there. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know, thank you for going in and getting all this information for us, because I'm going to, I haven't actually had much time to do anything with it, however, besides read it a couple of times, because
mm-hmm.
it's very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not read Alicia's article, go to politichicks.tv and /column/politichicks-goes-undercover-to-planning planning meeting dash. Well, just go. I just had said earlier to go to politichicks.tv column and then look it up from there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work?
Just go to the main page, and they'll list all the articles and the columns there. They can find it that way.
Now, I am going to the NC Constitution Day at the end of September. Will you be there?
Is that the Jimmy Oki or
yes.
around Mount Airy? Yes, I will definitely be there on September 28th.
Excellent.
Yeah, that should be great.
I will look
forward to meet you there. Yeah. Well, I appreciate everything that that you and Brenda are doing with your radio blog here. And I'll, that's great. I mean, we're all in this fight together. And it's just great to see other combatants in this. And this conservative and progressive conflict that we have going on here, especially in our state. I would just challenge everybody to take a look around you at what, I mean, there's community organizing going on in our neighborhoods, and we've got to be aware of it. We've got to combat it.
Yeah, well, those people that have seen me out there on the overpasses. I guess they know I can organize. So
mm-hmm.
I'm really good
mm-hmm.
at stuff like that. So that's why I think, you know, this will be really good to put together.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Alicia, again, thank you so much for coming on and thank you for doing what you do so people like me can get the word out, because this stuff is really important. And I will look forward to meeting you at the end of the next month. And thank you again so much for coming on to Women Patriots today.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Tonight.
Good night.
Wow, that was really good. I hope everybody enjoyed learning what we learned tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining Women Patriots tonight. God bless.